everybody. You're listening to Osho Radio. We give you 1 hour of music from the world of Osho and a part of a lecture by Osho. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy this 1 hour especially for you.
Tadare tani de, de dim tana dere na.
Num tananum, tadare tani de, dim dim tana dere na.
Num tananum, tadare tani de.
The discourse today is from the series When the Shoe Fits, number 8. Today's discourse may seem a rather harsh discourse. Partly it is because it is a very old discourse, the quality is not so good, but also Osho is talking in a very straightforwarded way. He is talking about the ways of the ego. In this discourse, Osho explains how the ego arises as soon as your being inside gets divided. If there's no conflict, if you accept yourself totally as you are, the ego doesn't get any more nourishment. In fact, the ego cannot anymore exist.
every child is born sane, but every man becomes insane. Whole humanity is neurotic. Neurosis is not a problem for few people. Human being as such is neurotic. And this neurosis is created through such a subtle mechanism that you cannot even become aware of it. It has become an unconscious thing. It goes on influencing you, your behavior, your relationship. Your whole life is colored by it. But it has gone so deep into the roots, you cannot find from where your misery, conflict, anxiety, neurosis arises. Few things have to be understood, then this story will become clear and very helpful. First, if you condemn yourself, you are creating a division. That division will be your misery and your hell. If you condemn yourself, it means you condemn nature. And there is no victory against nature. There cannot be. You are just a tiny part in a vast ocean of nature. You cannot fight it. And all so-called religions teach you fighting. They condemn nature and they acclaim culture. They condemn nature and they say this is just like animals. And don't be like animals. Every parent is saying, don't be like animals. What is wrong in animals? Animals are beautiful. But in your mind, animals are something to be condemned. Something bad. Something evil. Something not worthy of you. You are superior. You are not an animal. You are born of the angels. And animals, they are just to be used, exploited. You don't belong to them. That's why when first Darwin declared that man has come out of the same heritage as animals, he belongs to the animal world. The whole humanity was against him. From every church pulpit, from every temple, from every mass, he was condemned that he is a heretic and he is teaching something absolutely wrong. And if it is believed, then whole culture will be lost. But he was true. Man is as natural as other animals, trees and birds. And trees and birds and animals are not neurotic. They never go mad unless you put them in a zoo. In a zoo it happens. Animals go neurotic. Even to be in contact with man is dangerous. Man is infectious. Sometimes dogs go mad, but never when they are wild, only when they are domestic. Domestic animals go mad. Living with man is living with something unnatural. In the wild, no animal commits suicide. No animal goes mad. No animal murders. But with man, even animals turn unnatural. They start doing things they have never done in the wild. They become homosexual. They become neurotic. They murder. And sometimes they have even tried to commit suicide. What happens when you bring a dog to your home? You start immediately teaching him, as if he licks something. He is perfect. Every dog is born perfect. Nature has given him everything that is needed. He is already equipped. You need not teach him what you are doing. You are trying to make him a part of human society. Now the trouble starts. Now even the dog will learn to condemn himself. If he does something wrong, inside he feels guilty. The condemnation has entered. I have heard, once it happened, a bum, a beggar, caught hold of a rich man and asked for a dime, just for a cup of coffee. The rich man said, "You seem to be healthy enough. Why are you wasting your life? Why don't you go and work and help yourself?" The bum said with a very deep condemnation in his eyes, "What, to help a bum like me?" Continuously, you are not accepting yourself. From the very beginning, you have been taught that nature is not enough. You have to be more than nature. And you have tried. And that effort is going to fail. That is impossible. You can never be more than nature. And if you try too much, you will be less than nature. You can never be more than nature, because nature is perfect. Nothing more is needed. No polishing is needed. No effort is needed to make it better. It cannot be made better. But if you try too much, you will fall from the perfection of nature, and you will become a neurotic animal. Man comes from animals, but he is not a higher animal. He has become a neurotic animal. And the problem is that nobody teaches you to accept yourself and accept your nature. Worship it. Be thankful for it to the divine. Be grateful to the whole. Whatsoever has been given has a meaning. It is significant. You cannot cut it down and change. If you try, you will be in trouble. And you are in trouble. And everybody on this earth is in trouble. Why man condemns himself? Why he cannot accept nature? Because through condemnation, ego is created. There is no other way to create the ego. To create the ego, you have to fight. To create the ego, you have to condemn something as bad and applaud something as good. To create the ego, first you have to create a god and a devil. And then you have to fight with the devil and try to reach to the God. A conflict is needed for the ego. If there is no conflict, there cannot be any ego. Just think, if there is no fight within you, if you accept yourself totally, you are happy as you are, deeply content. deeply satisfied. Not even a single note of complaint. Thankful. How the ego can exist. How you can say, I am. The more you fight, the more I is created. That's why if you go to your so-called sins, you will find more neurotic people there than anywhere. And this is something to be observed, that wherever there are so many sins, there are so many less mad men. Madness exists in the East less, it exists more in the West. But if you simply do an ordinary arithmetic, you will be surprised. In the East, many mad people are worshipped as saints. So they are not in mad houses. In the West, the same people should have been in the mad houses are under the coach of the psychiatrist. They are not thought to be mad. They are, because ego is mad. Look at your sins. They have such a subtle ego. Refined, of course, polished, very cultivated, decorated, but it is there. The more you fight with anything, if you fight with somebody else, you cannot have very subtle ego. Because with the other, the possibility of being defeated always exists. Even if you have won, the other is there any day. There is every chance he may gather strength, you may be defeated. The victory cannot be absolute. And you can never be certain. The enemy is there. And there is not one enemy outside, millions of enemies. Because with whomsoever you compete, he is your enemy. You will always be shaking and wavering. Your ego cannot be on a solid ground. You have made your house on sand. But if you are fighting with yourself, then you are working on a solid ground. You can be certain. You can be more subtly egoist. To have the I, you have to kill the nature, because in nature no ego exists. Trees are there, but they don't know the I. Animals are there, but they don't know the ego. They live unconsciously. They simply live without any fight and struggle. When they are hungry, they search for food. When they are satisfied, they go to sleep. They make love. They eat. They sleep. But they don't exist. They don't say, we are. They are just waves in the vast ocean of life. They come and go without leaving any trace. They have no history, no autobiography. They come and go as if they had never been there. Lions have existed, elephants have existed. They don't have any history, they don't have any autobiography. A lion comes like a vast, big wave and then disappears. No traces left behind. Ego leaves traces, footprints. The ego wants not to die. Autobiographies are written. History is created. And then comes the whole foolishness, the neurosis. To create the ego, man has created a conflict. And this conflict has two aspects. one aspect with the outer nature. That's how science is created. Science is fight with nature outside, nature without. That's why even a person like Bertrand Russell goes on talking in terms of conquering the nature. How can you conquer nature? How can a wave conquer the ocean? It is patent foolishness. A part cannot conquer the whole. And if the part tries, the part will go mad. The whole will not lose anything, the part will lose everything. Because the part exists with the whole, never against it. Science has become destructive because of this attitude to conquer. And there is another aspect of conflict, that aspect you call religion. One aspect is to fight nature outside, science is created, it is destructive. The ultimate goal can never be anything else than Hiroshima. It will reach, the whole earth will become a Hiroshima. Fight leads to death. Conflict ultimately leads to ultimate death. Science is leading towards that. Then there is another conflict, the inner conflict, to fight with oneself. That's what you call religion. To conquer oneself. Again the fight. That too is destructive. Science destroys nature from the outside, and so-called religion destroys nature from the inside. Chuang Tzu is against both type of conflicts. The so-called science and the so-called religion, they are not enemies. They are partners. They have a deep affinity. To understand Chuang Tzu in Lao Tse, to understand Tao, you will have to understand that they don't believe in fight of any sort. They say, don't fight, live. Just be in and let go. So the nature can penetrate you and you can penetrate nature. They say just be ordinary. Don't try to be extraordinary. Don't try to be somebody, just be nobodies. You will enjoy more. Because you will have more energy left. You will be full of energy, tremendous energy is there, but it is dissipated in fighting. You divide yourself, and from both the sides you fight, and the energy is dissipated. The same energy can become ecstatic. If allowed to move in an inner harmony, not fighting. Acceptance is the base of Tao. Accepting whatsoever is. Tao does not create any art. Chuang Tzu says, don't say to anybody, you ought to do this. You should do this. You ought not to be like this. Chuang Tzu says these things are dangerous, you are poisoning. There is only one thing to be followed, and that is your nature. Wherever it leads, trust it. But we are afraid to follow nature. Not because nature is bad, but because the moral teachers, because of the poisoners, of the very source of life. They have taught you so many things, so many arts, that you cannot look directly at the is, that which is. You always look for the art. Even if you look at a rose, you immediately start to think how this rose ought to be. It can be a little more redder. It can be a little more bigger. You can inject chemicals into it and it will become bigger. You can paint it. It can become more red. But you cannot accept as it is. Small or big, red or not so red, it is there. Why not enjoy it in this very moment? First make it more red, make it bigger, and then you will enjoy, and you don't know. You are postponing. And the postponing becomes a habit. When it has become bigger, the same mind will say, there is more, it's still possible. And the same mind will go on postponing until death knocks at your door. And then you will be surprised that I have been wasting whole life into arts, and the is was there, and the is beautiful. The is the only religion for Chantasu. The conflict between is and art is very foundational. If you can drop your art, you may not be so much respectable as you are right now. Because of your art, people respect you. They said, this man is beautiful. He is never angry, he always smiles. And they don't know that those smiles are false. Because a man who can never be angry cannot be truly smiling. This is the problem. Because if he is not authentic in his anger, he cannot be authentic in his smile. Children are authentic. When they are angry, they are really angry. You look at them, and their anger is beautiful. They become just like wild animals, jumping and screaming, their whole face red. They are like lions. They will destroy the whole world at that moment. Their anger is true, and whatsoever is true is beautiful. Look at a child when he is angry. Just watch him, and you will see a beautiful flowering of his strength, power, energy moving. And next moment, the child is happy, is smiling. Now the smile is also true. Then his smile is also beautiful. Whatsoever is natural is beautiful. But you say to the child, don't be angry. Suppress your anger. This is not good. You are not supposed to be angry. But who is this who is supposing these things? Is there any possibility to go beyond nature? Who are you? At the most you can do this thing. If you force, and child is helpless, you can force. He will have to follow you. He is weak, he depends on you. Because you can withdraw your love. He needs your love. He will have to follow you. When he feels angry, he will not express it. Now the anger will move into the blood. Because anger is chemical. Now his whole body will be poisoned. Expressed, it was a beautiful phenomena. Suppressed, it is disease. Now, when he will smile, this smile will carry that anger, the poison. Now it is in the blood. And if you have suppressed so much that whenever you want to smile, something withholds you. Something is afraid in any sort of let go, because a smile is a let go. If you smile, just stand before a mirror and smile, and you will see that behind your smile, anger is there, sadness is there, lust is there. It is not pure. It cannot be, because the very source is poisoned. Nothing is pure. Not only things in the market are adulterated, you are adulterated. Then you cannot smile. And if you cannot smile, how can you kiss? Your kiss will be just a poison. It will be poisonous. How can you love? How can you enjoy the seer being? No, you cannot do anything. No, you can only follow art, shoulds and should nots. You are afraid to live. You go on postponing. Somewhere in the future, you will live. And because of this postponing, you have created heaven and hell. Heaven, your final postponement of everything that is worth living. You say, in heaven, there is eternal beauty. The eternal beauty is here and now, not in heaven. You say, in heaven, love is pure and eternal. Love can be pure and eternal here and now. There is no need to wait for heaven. Wherever love is, it is eternal and pure, because for love, time does not exist. Eternal does not mean permanent. Eternal means non-temporal. Eternal means there is no time. Even if a single moment of love is there, it is eternal. In that moment is such depth. In that moment time ceases. In that moment there is no future, no past. In that moment you are simply so much that you spread all over existence. The whole existence belongs to you, and the whole of you belongs to the existence. That moment is eternity unto itself. Wherever love is, there is eternity. And then there is the possibility of prayer. If your smile is false, your kiss will be false, your love cannot be true, and all your prayers will be just words and nothing else. How can you find a God? How can you become God-like if you are not true? You seek truth, and in your life you are always untrue. How an untrue person can meet the truth? This seems the most impossible thing. The truth will knock at your door. You need not go anywhere. Just be true. And when I say just be true, I am saying just be natural. Nature is truth. And there is no other truth except nature.
spreading like sunshine over my face. Osho, your blessings fill me with grace. I feel your love from my head to my toes. Whenever I see you, it grows and it grows. You put a song in my life. You put a song in my life. You put a song in my life. You put a song in my life.
A song in my life.
This was Osho Radio for today. Before the discourse, you listened to a piece of music called Spiritual Heart from the CD Garden of the Beloved. Also, you heard Manish with the song Mira, sung by Anandricha, and Nadama was playing the piano from his CD Healing Touch. After the discourse, you heard a small part of a satsang from Rajesh Puram, a song by Mila Repa called You Are a Song in My Life, and we end with Miten and a beautiful song called Existence. Goodbye, everybody. Have a good week. Take care. And namaste.
Caravans arrive.